Hello everyone and welcome to Video Games and Coffee. I'm your host Daniel, and today I'd like to talk about a game near and dear to my heart, mostly because the main character has my heart, if only she was a real person. In 2013, we saw a franchise reboot and a complete character redesign. She's intelligent, she's hot, she's English, she's fearless, she's hot, she's resourceful, she's tough, she's incredibly attractive. A woman who can only be the offspring of the combined DNA of Bruce Wayne, Nathan Drake, Indiana Jones, and Alexandra Daddario. A woman who first came to us in 1996 and has embedded herself in video game history as one of the greatest video game characters of all time. At this point, I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about. She is our one, our only, our Tomb Raider, our Lara Croft. This episode, I'll try to make it less about my teenage and adulthood crush and more about the 2013 reboot game simply titled Tomb Raider. Okay, so welcome back for my returning listeners, and welcome first-time listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Thanks for giving me your time and giving me the opportunity to talk with you a bit. This is Video Games and Coffee, where I talk about video games not really in the spoiler form, but really more of an intro to a game, especially games that I've really enjoyed, and basically let you give you an overview what to expect if you fire one up. You may or may not have played the game that I'm talking about, so hopefully this helps you make your decision on whether or not to give it a shot. So 2013's Tomb Raider. This was another release I heard from someone else. I loved the original Tomb Raider on PlayStation back from 1996, but holy Christ, I thought it was hard. I mean, when you're in a cave and the same repeating texture patterns are used on the walls, there's no fucking way you're finding that keyhole or that button you're supposed to interact with. But still, it was a 32-bit female Indiana Jones at the time, and the concept of the game was just awesome. And the character of Lara Croft stuck, so much so that by the time this 2013 reboot released, it was the 10th title in the Tomb Raider franchise. And boy, was it a welcome and successful reboot. Up to this point, I wasn't necessarily on the lookout for a new Tomb Raider game, because while the games were pretty cool in concept, I was still hurting from the initial difficulty I had with the very first game, so I didn't really play the other games through. I also didn't play, Tomb Raider Legend or Tomb Raider Underworld, both which, from what I've read, were pretty good. So I didn't really know what to expect at this point, but geez Louise, when I saw the screenshots of this reboot game and saw how realistic everything looked, I was sold. I always found Lara Croft's face to be particularly cartoony, and the overhaul her design went through was outstanding. So this design this time around was just an absolute home run. They've finally given Lara a face that you now picture in your head every time you think of her. We're talking about a leap so great that it's like comparing Nathan Drake from Uncharted 3, which was an outstanding game, to Uncharted 4. I mean, he looks like a completely new person by that game, and that's exactly the kind of difference that we see in Lara Croft. I mean, she looks like somebody who can actually exist now. Camilla Luddington is the actress that does the voice and motion capture for Lara Croft in this game. She did a phenomenal job giving Lara a likable and believable personality. This game is before Lara becomes the Tomb Raider that we all know, and it takes place before she's a hardened Raider of Tombs. The writers and Camilla did a wonderful job portraying Lara as a somewhat timid explorer with a good balance of self-doubt, but also confidence. She's not a delicate pushover by any means, but at times needs a little push from her friends to get herself back up. Now, this is just one game in a trilogy. So this reboot is just number one of three. And you do see her evolution throughout the series to where she becomes the Tomb Raider that we are used to seeing. I'm only covering this first game of the trilogy in this episode. But in this one, Laura is basically someone who would never dream of stabbing someone in the face with her ice climbing axe. And does so with some level of regret. By the second game, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Laura will put her axe in someone's face because it's starting to become a reflex. And by the third game, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Laura stabs you in the face simply because you're in her way. So all three games do a fantastic job of showing this change in her. Tomb Raider was developed by Crystal Dynamics, based in California, and published by Square Enix. It's been released on all major platforms minus the Nintendo Switch. It originally had a 2012 release date, but was pushed back to the following year. This is Lara Croft's origin story. So this is basically her issue one. You play it in the third-person perspective, like the games that came before it. So you'll see Laura in all her glory, running, climbing, raiding, kicking the shit out of the bad guys. By the time this title was released, it felt much more like playing an Uncharted game. And that's perfectly fine with me, because I think that style of gameplay actually works well for it. It really plays just like a normal Tomb Raider game, as far as, you know, just kind of walking around and jumping up on stuff. It's much more updated. You know, for example, it incorporates a lot of quick time events, such as pressing X or square quickly after Laura makes a huge jump and just barely snags a ledge. There is a multiplayer mode as well, but to be honest, I've never tried it out. I've said it before, multiplayer just isn't my thing. Mainly because I don't really know anyone else to play it with. So I don't really personally have an opinion on it, because I don't have any experience, and I don't want to, you know, on the show I like to give my personal opinion based on my experiences. So I don't want to take whatever I read online about the multiplayer. I've read it's good and fun. I've read it's not so good, but I'll let you go ahead and just decide that for yourself. So Tomb Raider, this title, is the most realistic and grounded, in my opinion, of all the games up until this point. But just like the Indiana Jones movies, and some Uncharted moments as well, it does include some supernatural elements, but it is well balanced. I'd say there's a lot more realism in the game than there are unbelievable events. As this particular trilogy progresses, though, the supernatural aspects do get a little more intense. And holy shit, by the end of Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is the last one, she is straight up fighting a fucking Super Saiyan. But that doesn't quite take away from the quality or enjoyment of the games. So it's not something that's necessarily a negative. That's just what this character and the stories and the world she lives in has. I mean, shit, you know, Christopher Nolan made the world of Batman as realistic and grounded as possible. But never forget, kids, that even in that world where everybody says it's the most realistic of comic books and universes, there's always Clayface, all right? So think about that. Okay, so I'm just going to get down to it. Lara Croft looks great. I know what you're thinking. Gee, you don't say, Daniel. You didn't make that a point in the intro at all. But hey, she really does. The design and the model they came up with make her look absolutely like a real person. So much that I was convinced that Camilla Luddington provided her likeness for her, but no, that wasn't the case. And I'm glad. Nothing against Camilla, of course, but I've mentioned before that I tend to lean away from the decision to make video game characters, especially hugely popular ones like Lara Croft, resemble a real actor or actress that you will always associate with them whenever you think about them. So, you know, Nolan North, you know, if you look at Nathan Drake and Nolan North, you kind of see a resemblance, but then you kind of don't, you know. So they still kept Nathan Drake I keep going back to Uncharted. Sorry, that's just, it's a reflex for me. So they kept Nathan Drake to look like his own person. So that's who I think of whenever I think of Nathan Drake. And they did the same thing with Lara Croft. Now, it may be a coincidence with Camilla, but Lara Croft is her own person. But if they took any likeness from her, it was very subtle. So it still makes Lara Croft her own just individual character. She does wear her signature tank top in the game, and I love how they got rid of the tight braid that she always had her hair in, and she just has her hair pulled back in a ponytail. Again, it's very realistic, and it just seems a little more natural. This continues throughout the trilogy, by the way. So her look really stays the same and very grounded. I thought her build was perfect. You can really see as you play through the three games that her muscles get more toned the stronger and more experienced she becomes. In this game, she's not particularly muscular, but also doesn't look frail either. She's just a slim woman that looks like she gets plenty of cardio and watches what she eats. Her face, so pretty. I know. I'm serious. Whatever, man. I've been called a nerd before for thinking of, you know, comic book characters and video game characters like this, but just bear with me on this one, please. They made her very attractive without looking like a Disney princess. Just a naturally strong and pretty face that looks so fucking good, dirty and covered in mud rather than caked in makeup. She even looks good with her hair messy. It's strange, and I don't know why, but she looks better when she's disheveled, because you know she was productive that day. You know, I mean, shit, she's got shit to do and doesn't have time to sit down in her vanity. She's sharpening her climbing axe and cleaning her guns and preparing to fuck up anyone standing in her way, from finding that important hidden location or treasure. Basically acting like everyone on, you know, shopping on Black Friday, but, letting no one stand in her way. Lara Croft has just become if not the strongest female character in video games, one of the strongest female characters. I mean, really, who did we have before Lara Croft? I personally would say Chun-Li and Cammy. So when Lara Croft came, it was a welcome addition to that. And for the longest time, I was like, man, those three, they're the Holy Trinity right there. But we've had a lot of strong female characters created since then. Specifically Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn, very awesome character, very strong, but not enough to completely eclipse Lara Croft. She's there, and she's there for good, and she will not be forgotten anytime soon. Now, playing through the actual game, the gameplay, the mechanics are great. They're satisfying. Moving Lara around feels smooth and natural. Nothing that feels jittery or buggy or just off. That goes for the climbing and jumping as well. The combat is really good, and you can aim your weapon freely when you hold up your gun or bow. The guns are good, but I always get more satisfaction from using her bow. You get her bow early on in the game, very early on, within the first 10 minutes, I would say. You can collect experience points that allow you to level Lara up, and you can collect scrap items that let you customize your weapons and equipment. And just like most games you've probably played that include RPG elements like these, there are skills, there are abilities, equipment, and weapons that you'll never level up or customize because you'll never really use them. And you can make it really through the game without doing so. The same applies for this here. There's some weapons, like some rifles or something that you get, and it's just not my thing. I always stick with the bow and kind of her signature pistol or pistols. So I'm not really, I'd rather save those points for something else. You go to these base camps, basically. So the base camps throughout the game are save points and areas that you sit down, you rest, and you can, that's where you level yourself up if you have points available. Once you unlock more base camps, you can start fast traveling from one base camp to another, which is a very welcome little feature within the game, especially if you gotta go back and forth or level up some more. You can go to those different areas without having to actually do the walking, because that would absolutely take forever. The game's soundtrack was composed by Jason Graves. Jason has done the soundtracks for Until Dawn, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, DMC, Devil May Cry, Dead Space, Dead Space Extraction, Dead Space 2, Dead Space 3, and from what I'm seeing, the next 48 Dead Space games. Yeah, his Tomb Raider score is awesome. It's great, and I was not the only one that thought that. It was praised by many across the far reaches of the internet, but for some reason, he didn't come back for the two sequels. In fact, all three games in this trilogy, they all have different composers, which I thought was both a strange and interesting choice to make, because music being such an important part of the experience when you're playing a game, you would think they would want to keep it consistent. But it worked out okay, because playing through all the games, I was never pulled out of the experience or out of the fantasy because I thought the music was off from one game to another. Now, everything turned out fine, and the music was great across the board. So let's talk about how the game starts and what your first few minutes are like. It begins with Laura narrating and telling a very brief overview on what she's doing and how she got here, here being where this game takes place. You see her wake up suddenly on a ship that's shaking and rocking quite a bit, and you quickly find out that there is a pretty fierce storm, and somehow, some way, the entire ship was ripped apart, ripped in half like it was fucking paper mache. I'm not really sure what happened. It's not explained whether or not they hit something or something hit them, like, I don't know, a bomb or a torpedo. But the ship is filling with water fast, and she nearly drowns, but is, you know, she luckily is pulled up by someone at this point. She kind of like, she, you know, they do the whole thing where they go all the way to like the ceiling or something and get air, and they're like, you know, and all this shit, which is like a couple of inches of air kind of space between the water and the wall. But somebody quickly pulls her up out of, you know, wherever she's at, and you see that she's on half of the ship, and it's weird, man. She's on half the ship, and a guy, presumably someone she knows and trusts, is all the way on the other half, and the two separate pieces of the ship are separating even further. So you don't know who this guy is yet, but you find that he is the pretty much the worst partner to have in a trust fall, because as he's motioning for Laura to jump and have him catch her very dramatically, she jumps as far as she can, they both grab hands, and she ends up slipping out of his grip. So Laura then falls into the water. It cuts to Laura revived on the shore, and what you assume at this point is an island. And then she is almost immediately knocked unconscious by an unidentified person from behind. Now, here's where things get weird. She awakens hanging upside down and completely wrapped in a what looks like a canvas sack kind of deal, completely bound, can't move her arms and legs. And at this point is when the tutorial starts. So it starts here, you're hanging upside down, and there's like this, there's something burning right next to you, so it tells you, you know, move your stick left to right, side to side, so she can start swinging. Now, the whole point of doing this is they want you to swing far enough over to one side where something's like burning or something is on fire. I can't remember what it was, if it was a kind of like a lantern or a torch or something. But it's supposed to, the idea is to burn her bindings and everything, and she falls to the floor, and in a And just in Joel Miller style, she pierces the very side of her abdomen with a piece of rebar as she lands on the ground. And golly, I know I would be crying like a little baby if that happened to me. But hell no, man. I told you she's strong. She just gets up and she's like, fuck this. I'm out. So you follow her out of the – or you follow her. You navigate her out of this cave or something. And this kind of like a savage guy, you know, saying like, oh, let me help you. Let me help you. You know, he kind of fucking, I don't know, man. He talks like a fucking Tasmanian devil. But he kind of comes at you. You do your little quick event things or whatever it was where you kind of hit like left, right, left, right, left, right to escape his grip. And you kind of kick him back and. Something, I forget what it was, but something separates you and him. So the tutorial continues on, showing you what key presses or button presses to grab a torch, light a torch, interact with shit. And you go through kind of a couple little, I wouldn't necessarily say challenges, but I mean, the easiest of puzzles, basically. Just to show you what you can do with the torch. You can burn shit out of your way, that kind of stuff. And so you start making your way further to what you hope is out of this cave. And for no good reason whatsoever, the cave starts shaking, crumbling like it's an earthquake or some shit. And, you know, everything's just fallen. And you encounter the one savage dude again. And you kick free of him, and he gets squashed by a big ass rock, and you're scrambling, the ground's crumbling beneath you, and at this point you think the whole damn island is just completely sinking into the ocean. Like there's nothing left. Like when you leave this cave, your head's gonna pop up out of the ocean because everything's it's crazy, man, how everything is crumbling. But it adds suspense, it adds that drama, and it allows you to really make Laura scramble. You know, this is kind of, she's learning how to raid these tombs. So when you finally make it out of the cave, you come on this overlook, this view. So you are on an island, you look out into the ocean, and, you know, all along the shore, you see a bunch of shipwrecks. And we're talking old timey ships, you know, fucking Blackbeard era kind of ship. So apparently this has happened quite a few times at this place, and her gigantic ship that just ripped apart like a fruit roll up wasn't the first casualty in this very, I guess, Bermuda Triangle kind of looking thing. So the tutorial continues on, showing you how to kind of navigate through walking on narrow little, at one point you walk on a tree trunk or something that's, you know, across, you know, a big gap or something, kind of balance her. And then very Nathan Drake style, there's this big airplane, this old school looking, I guess, you know, World War II airplane looking thing that's kind of hanging nose down. You go up and you climb it and you kind of navigate across another big gap and shit. So you continue on until you find your first base camp. So from here on out, you kind of start the game, the actual gameplay, and you start finding supplies, equipment. I mean, a few minutes after this, you start, you know, practicing with your bow and everything, which is really cool. I suggest customizing and leveling up your bow because it's a very silent weapon, and like I said before, it's very satisfying when you can nail somebody with a headshot. So but yeah, and you know, the entire game is finding out what the hell is going on at this island. You actually figure out that this was the island I guess you guys were looking for, and based on these weird people that live here, you actually found, you know, the place that you were navigating to. Now, it's important to note that Laura Croft is not the only person on the island from the ship. Her friends are there too, a group of them that got washed up on shore. she communicates with him through radio and eventually meets up with him. So the entire game, as I've mentioned before, it's her origin. She toughens up. She thickens her skin. And I may have described it as being cheesy, because I'm like, I poke fun at games, even games that I really love, and I really love Tomb Raider. But, you know, I mean, hey, it's a Tomb Raider game. You need those dramatics. You need those very intense moments. So, hey, you know, her waking up after the boat she was on got hit by a goddamn Kamehameha, I mean, hey, maybe that's just what the story requires. So, but yeah, I mean, the island has magical powers and shit, man. So, hey, it's all jokes aside, it's a wonderful game. I've played it two or three times through. The voice acting, the motion capture, the realism, even for a game from 2013, even being the first one in this trilogy, it's actually my second favorite one. I think my favorite of the trilogy is Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is the second one. But it is a very, very good game. It is very enjoyable, regardless of you know, really what you're expecting. If you want a Tomb Raider game, if the other Tomb Raider games before it did it for you, this game will absolutely do it for you and some. So it is a huge improvement and a very welcome change to what everyone was used to regarding the Tomb Raider games before it. So I highly recommend you give it a shot. Give it a shot. If the first, you really get a feel for what the game is going to be like in the first 30 minutes. Give it 30 minutes. If you enjoy what you experience in the first 30 minutes, then continue on. It won't disappoint. Trust me. Hey, it is my opinion, but trust me. That's just the way I feel about it. I'm the kind of guy, I cannot really, I'm busy. I work full time. You know, I'm a dad. I got responsibilities, so I can't really waste time on a game that's not going to do it for me. And this is me saying Tomb Raider does it for me. So if you haven't played through Tomb Raider yet, I hope this helped in your decision-making on whether or not to give it a shot. If you have played through it and you love it as much as I do, didn't really enjoy it, or thought it was mediocre, let me know. Reach out to me. We can have a conversation. I really enjoy reading the comments and receiving the messages on Instagram for those that want to reach out and connect. And I've mentioned this in another episode too. The reason I started the podcast is not just to talk about the games I enjoy, but really to connect with the community. So thank you very much for listening in today. It's always appreciated. You took time to listen to me. And if you made it this far, which is about 28 minutes or so, thank you. I hope you weren't let down. And for those that have returned a time or two again and made it through this episode, thank you as well. I hope you come back for the next episode. I'm not really sure what the next episode will cover quite yet, but I'm sure I'll throw a little hint out there somewhere around the beginning or middle of next week. But this was Video Games and Coffee for episode 7, Tomb Raider 2013's reboot release. Thank you very much. I appreciate the support and you listening in. Everybody, stay safe, have fun, be good to each other, and I will talk to you next time.